I've always had questions about my father.
Your whole life, actually, has been about what's my identity? Who am I?
And when I took an ancestry test, the results blew up my world. That's when I found out that the secrets about my family went deep.
This is my question for you. Did you and Warren get any fertility help?
Yeah, we did.
We know that the DNA is the truth. Everything else is just a story.
From Waveland and Rococo Punch, this is Inconceivable Truth.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Oh my God,
police separator 1142, it's emergency. Hello.
I just called. Please, I need an ambulance.
Okay, what happened then, ma'am?
My mom, she's dead, I think. I don't know.
What happened?
Help me.
Hello? Hello? What happened?
I came home and my mom is in a puddle of blood. Can you just send somebody?
Yes,
right
ma'am,
now?
I sure can. Miss?
On October 30th, 2007, Mandy Stein, the daughter of 62-year-old real estate agent to the stars Linda Stein, walked into the living room of her mother's apartment at 965 Fifth Avenue on Manhattan's Upper East Side and found Linda lying face down in a pool of blood. According to police, Linda had been brutally attacked, beaten to death in an attack that a prosecutor would later describe as animalistic and the worst I've ever seen. The medical examiner would later determine that someone had hit Linda with something heavy, several times, at least six or seven, maybe as many as 80, in an attack that snapped Linda's spine, paralyzing her and leaving her with no way to fight back. In New York City, Linda Stein was a big deal. She was a bold-faced name in Page Six, which meant that once you see your name in black in the New York Post, you know that you've made it. She had helped find homes for superstar clients including Angelina Jolie, Madonna, Sting, and Billy Joel. So the day after Linda Stein's body was found, the death of the punk rock pioneer turned high-powered realtor was the top story in New York. I'm Katherine Townsend, and this is Red Collar. Linda's daughter Mandy, who had been staying with her mom while working on a documentary, was still in shock after finding Linda's body when she came into the apartment at around 10:30 p.m. Now a forensic team was combing Linda's apartment, trying to figure out what happened. Investigators considered the possibility that Linda could have fallen, but when they pulled the hood of her top back, they saw her severe skull injuries, according to the New York Times. Throughout her entire life, Linda was a controversial figure whose sense of adventure and fiery temperament meant that she had a long list of both friends and enemies. Linda Stein was born Linda Adler, and she grew up in Riverdale in a middle-class neighborhood. She worked as a fifth-grade teacher before a meeting with her future husband, Seymour Stein, the music mogul who founded Sire Records, would change her life forever. Both of them had a huge passion for music. Seymour would go on to found Warner Brothers Records, and he helped shape the careers of superstars, including Madonna, the Talking Heads, and the Pretenders. Linda and Seymour married in 1971. They moved into a huge nine-bedroom apartment on Central Park West. Then Linda started working in the music industry, and her bluntness, sense of humor, and ability to deal with tough personalities meant that she was a natural. Linda went on to help manage punk rock bands, including one of the biggest in the world, the Ramones. She was described in a 1979 Rolling Stone article. It read, quote, 10 minutes later, diminutive Linda Stein, 32-year-old wife of Seymour Stein, the president of the Warner Brothers distributed Sire label, and the other half of the band's managerial team, strides in, and Joey lifts his head and whispers to her urgently. She nods and then issues a booming command to all assembled. Excuse me, everybody. Please clear the room. Joey wants to be alone to wash his face. End quote. According to the Independent newspaper, Linda changed the direction of punk rock when she suggested the Ramones go to Britain. The two shows the band played in London in summer 1976 were, quote, the sulfur that finally ignited punk in Britain, end quote. They helped inspire later punk groups, including The Clash. In fact, it's been suggested in various media outlets that the Ramones single, Sheena as a Punk Rocker, was based on Linda Stein. Linda and Seymour had two daughters, Samantha and Mandy. During the 70s, Linda and her husband lived the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle. They partied and they traveled the world with famous friends, including Elton John and Bob Dylan. But eventually, the couple grew apart, and eventually they divorced in 1979. Seymour Stein has since said that their marriage was, quote, like a roller coaster, only a good one, like the cyclone at Coney Island, end quote. After the divorce, the couple remained good friends. In the 1990s, Linda reinvented herself as a real estate agent to the stars after she helped sell one of Seymour's apartments. And after that, she racked up a huge celebrity clientele. She helped clients, including Bruce Willis, Steven Spielberg, and Elton John, buy their multi-million dollar apartments. She had great turnaround, too. She sold Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley their home at 88 Central Park West, and later, after they split, she sold the same apartment to Sting for $4.8 million. She also gave her clients blunt advice. She once told Angelina Jolie to ditch the vial she was wearing of Billy Bob Thornton's blood if she ever wanted to get past a conservative Manhattan co-op board. In 1990, when Linda moved to Douglas Elliman, she signed a deal guaranteeing her a 65% share of commissions instead of the usual 50-50. Linda was on fire. She was profiled in Vogue, the New York Observer, and was a regular in the New York Post's Page Six gossip column. A 1991 profile by Michael Gross in New York Magazine shows Linda in her sky-high heels, wearing a black power suit with super short shorts. She had a big smile in that picture and actually looks like she's about to start laughing or screaming. That was just her personality. But you don't get to the top without making some enemies, and Linda was no exception. She was a diminutive woman with a huge personality who cursed like a sailor. She was known for using the F word as a noun, adjective, and verb all in the same sentence. According to Fox News, there are 6 mentions of Linda Stein in the Andy Warhol diaries. She was also reportedly the inspiration for the feisty real estate agent who sells an Upper East Side apartment to Charlie Sheen's character Bud Fox in the Oliver Stone movie Wall Street. Linda had all the trappings of success. She had a private office, a chauffeured BMW, and of course, a personal assistant. Linda had fought hard to get where she was in business, and she was a huge success. But she had also battled various health crises over the years. Linda was a breast cancer survivor. She had had 2 mastectomies during the 90s, according to an excellent New York Magazine article by Robert Kolker. Also, according to the article, at the time of her death, she was dealing with another diagnosis. Doctors had found a benign brain tumor. The tumor reportedly did not require surgery, but it meant that Linda did have to take a drug cocktail. The drugs had side effects. They made her weak, and she struggled to do things like hold her hair dryer. Linda had practiced yoga for a long time, and it helped a lot with her physical therapy. And, according to Robert Kolker's article, she, quote, still chain-smoked joints like they were cigarettes, end quote. After the murder, the New York Times reported that, quote, Miss Stein had many tumultuous relationships in her life, but investigators have not focused on any particular people and did not comment on possible motives, end quote. People could read between the lines here. And, kind of like a Page Six blind item, they were scouring the press every day for hints or clues to who the killer might be. Everyone knew that Linda was definitely a controversial figure. But they wondered, who would have been angry enough to kill Linda in such a horrific way? Some of her clients could definitely be difficult. She told New York Magazine that managing celebrities and teaching children was basically the same thing. She said, quote, "Stars and fifth graders, it's all the same," end quote. But at the time of her death, friends and family members said that Linda was not having any conflict with anyone in particular. She was also between relationships. Police focused on the last person who they believed had seen Linda alive, her 26-year-old assistant, Natavia Lowry. Natavia was African-American, soft-spoken, and serious. Linda was Jewish, loud, brash, and had a bold personality. But according to friends, they got along well. The security in Linda's building was tight. It showed Natavia coming in at around 11 a.m. on the day Linda was killed. Later, Natavia could be seen leaving, at around the time when police believed the murder occurred. She could be seen on camera looking at the soles of her shoes. Could she, police wondered, have been checking for blood? Police would have to re-examine everything they thought they knew about Natavia Lowry.
Tired of all the boring activewear out there? Check out Vuori Clothing. Vuori's versatile and comfy products are designed to look great in and outside of the gym, whether you're running, training, or even just weekend lounging. The women's performance jogger is the softest jogger you'll ever own. I actually own three of them in three different colors, and I love them. But also check out the women's daily legging, which features a high-waist drawstring tie and upgraded no-slip fit. For guys, there's the men's Kors short, the most comfy lined athletic short out there, and the men's Sunday performance jogger. Vuori is an investment into your happiness. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/Chuck. That's Vuori.com/Chuck, C-H-U-C-K. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/Chuck and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Natavia Lowry was born in the Grant Projects in Harlem. Her mom was a housekeeper. Her dad was a maintenance man. Former FBI Special Agent Steve Moore told the TV program I Knew My Murderer that Natavia's father died when she was just a baby and that her family struggled hard to ensure that she could get a good education. When she was a teen, her mom started dating her stepfather, Daniel Walsh. The family moved to Brooklyn and she went to Murray Bergtrom High School in Manhattan. She was interested in public relations, and after graduating from high school, she got a clerical job at top PR firm Rogers & Cowan. In 2002, she went to North Carolina State University. She was in the Black Finesse modeling troupe. She later transferred to Hunter College and graduated with a business degree. In 2007, she started working for Axios, a temp agency. In July of that year, she was sent to work for Linda at Prudential Douglas Elliman. As a boss, Linda was tough and fierce. According to Natavia's family, Natavia told them about Linda yelling at people, but they said she didn't mention that Linda yelled at her. Natavia was expected to perform the duties of an assistant, typing, filing, answering emails and phone calls, but also she did personal tasks, like walking with Linda in Central Park, scheduling her AA meetings, and even washing her hair. Now, this brings me to something that I'm obsessed with. The fact that when a lot of us think about white-collar crime, which leads to red-collar crime, we're thinking about impersonal cases, like people stealing money from the government or from a big, faceless corporation. But a study that came out in 2010, the National Public Survey on White-Collar Crime, found that nearly 1 in 4 American households were victims of white-collar crime in that year. And we know that many white-collar and red-collar criminals steal from the people closest to them. Now, good assistants are expected to anticipate their boss's every need, and that requires a huge amount of trust. For a while, Natavia and Linda seemed to be a good match. Linda reportedly liked Natavia. She even paid for her boyfriend to come visit her. At the same time, Natavia was dealing with a huge amount of stress. Shortly after she started working for Linda, she found out that she was pregnant. Though Natavia was not well paid, Linda would tip her for washing her hair, a gesture that could be seen as kind or could be taken as patronizing. Natavia was broke and desperate. Meanwhile, the forensic team was examining Linda's remains. The county coroner ruled Linda's death a homicide and attributed the cause to blunt impact trauma to the head and neck. Natavia's family described her as a sweet and devoted daughter with no criminal record who would never do anything like this. But dark secrets began to emerge. For one thing, while living in Virginia Beach, Natavia was sued for not paying $515 in rent. Her family blamed the missing money on a former roommate of Natavia's, who they said had skipped out without paying their share. She was also accused of embezzling $3,000 from Calgary Christian Church while she was working there. A high school friend also claimed that Natavia used her name to open up a $300 T-Mobile account and a $300 Target account, and then completely denied responsibility when she was confronted about the theft. The friend told a reporter, quote, "She's a pathological liar," and blamed it all on the boyfriend she was seeing at the time, end quote. Natavia was charged with misdemeanor identity theft, but the charges were eventually dropped. Police knew that Linda had a reputation as a tough boss. This murder was highly personal, overkill, and they were looking for someone close to her. Police did check out an ex-boyfriend and a younger broker who she'd been in a relationship with, but both men were reportedly cleared really quickly. Police interviewed Natavia the day after the murder and released her. Then they reviewed the building's security footage again and noticed something else. The surveillance video reportedly showed Natavia entering the building wearing cargo pants with large pockets and leaving with the pants turned inside out, suggesting, investigators say, that she might have been trying to hide the bloodstains. Investigators took Linda's apartment apart. They ripped out the bathtub, scoured the living room carpet, and even took a section of the apartment door to test for blood. Natavia's sealed identity theft arrest from the previous year was made public in the pages of the Daily News. Two police detectives met with her, first in Williamsburg and then at the station house. On November 7th, Natavia confessed.
Tired of all the boring activewear out there? Check out Vuori Clothing. Vuori's versatile and comfy products are designed to look great in and outside of the gym, whether you're running, training, or even just weekend lounging. The women's performance jogger is the softest jogger you'll ever own. I actually own three of them in three different colors, and I love them. But also check out the women's daily legging, which features a high-waist drawstring tie and upgraded no-slip fit. For guys, there's the men's Kors short, the most comfy lined athletic short out there, and the men's Sunday performance jogger. Vuori is an investment into your happiness. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at vuori.com/chuck. That's vuori.com/chuck, C-H-U-C-K. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to vuori.com/chuck and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Commissioner Ray Kelly held a press conference. He said Natavia claimed that Linda had verbally abused her and used racist language on the day that she attacked her. She reportedly said, quote, "She was constantly yelling at me," end quote. We're going to hear a clip of that confession now.
So she's pointing the cane at me now, right? So move the cane. You know how you just, like, slap it?
Where were you? Still on the couch?
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sitting on the couch. So, she's like waving a cane and stuff at me. Then it's like, I don't know, like after that remark and stuff, and you know, her screaming and yelling, I just snatched it from her. So I took it and it's like, I just hit her with it.
On the day of the attack, Natavia claimed that Linda had blown pot smoke in her face. So now Natavia's lawyers are trying to paint a picture of her as a desperate, pregnant woman who just snapped. She said Linda berated her work and was wielding the yoga stick in a menacing way. Natavia told investigators that she offered to buy Linda lunch to make amends. But, she said, Linda told her black people don't have any money. That's when Natavia says she grabbed the yoga stick and hit her boss 6 or 7 times. Then she said she panicked. She called her name repeatedly and shook her to try to wake her up before leaving the apartment and heading home. And this version of the story became pretty widely accepted at the time. A true crime show reenactment from back then shows an actress portraying Linda as blowing pot smoke into Natavia's face and waving a yoga stick at her. The narrator says, quote, Linda wields the yoga bar like a weapon, end quote, and continues to remind the audience that Natavia was pregnant. On November 9th, Natavia Lowry was arrested and charged with murder in connection with Linda Stein's death. But investigators who were following the money were finding evidence that Natavia wasn't a desperate pregnant woman. She was a cold-blooded killer. And the story was about to take another crazy turn. Because after confessing to Linda's murder, Natavia pleaded not guilty. According to her lawyers, the confession was coerced. Natavia, they said, was desperate to get out of the interview room after 6 hours, so she just told the police what they wanted to hear. Some elements of Natavia's story made no sense. For one thing, Linda's colleagues told Robert Kolker that even though she did smoke pot, she was generally thoughtful about it. For example, she would light up in a separate room and open windows. So the part about her blowing smoke in Natavia's face, they said, did not ring true. But Natavia's story was blown apart completely once the toxicology report came back and showed no trace of marijuana in Linda's blood. Also, Natavia claimed the fight had been started when Linda confronted her and hurled racist language at her. But investigators had done what they so often have to do in red-collar cases. They followed the money. And it turned out that Natavia had been stealing from Linda for months, starting from the first day that she worked for her. In total, investigators say she had stolen around $30,000. And police believe she may have stolen a lot more. Some law enforcement sources claimed up to $60,000. And while Natavia's family and her lawyers painted a picture of her as a pregnant woman who just wanted to provide for her family, some of the items she bought didn't seem to fit that image. Natavia opened 2 American Express accounts in Linda's name and forged a $4,000 check to the Boys and Girls Club in order to get tickets to the premiere of the Denzel Washington movie American Gangster. One of the many ironies of this case is that this is actually a movie about a guy doing whatever it took to make money, including killing anyone who stands in his way. Mark Beneke, who had known Linda since their Studio 54 days, said that he had been watching Monday Night Football with Linda on the night before she was killed, and she asked him a fateful question. According to The Observer, Linda said, quote, Mark, what would you say if you thought someone was stealing from you and not doing right by you, end quote. Mark testified that on October 30th, he called at 1 p.m. to ask his friend of 30 years if she wanted to share a glass of birthday champagne. Natavia answered and told him that Linda had gone out for a walk. But security cameras in Linda's building never showed her leaving that day. Later, Mark would realize that at the time he called, Linda was almost certainly already dead. Investigators also said that, contrary to some early media reports, Linda's attacker did not cover Linda's head out of some sort of loyalty or dignity. She did it to limit blood spatter. After Linda was dead, Natavia pulled the hood over her head and started the cleanup. She washed the blood off the walls and turned her cargo pants inside out to disguise the bloodstains. At some point, Mandy called. Natavia told her that her mother was out. And she learned that Mandy would be coming back to the apartment later that night. So prosecutors say she knew it was now or never. After the murder, Natavia left the apartment, taking Linda's cell phone with her. She stopped in an ATM and stole $800 from Linda's account, then came back to the apartment to put Linda's cell phone back and leave again before Mandy arrived. On November 2nd, a funeral was held for Linda Stein at Riverside Memorial Chapel, and the star-studded guest list would have made Linda proud. Guests including Whoopi Goldberg, Jan Wenner, Brett Ratner, and Clive Davis gathered to celebrate Linda's memory. According to the Independent newspaper, Mandy talked about stealing her mom's VIP cards and using them to get into Manhattan clubs as a teen. Samantha's speech was more somber. She revealed the horror of seeing Linda dead and talked about the hours of work the morticians had to put in to disguise the brutality of her death. As the police were diving deeper into the events leading up to October 30th, investigators started taking a closer look at Natavia's family, specifically her mother, Lottie, because police found something else strange in Linda's apartment. They found her driver's license that had been cut up and copied repeatedly at the same desk that Natavia sat at every day. In each copy of the license, according to sources, Linda's picture had been taken out and Lottie's put in. Also, in court, prosecutors presented evidence that Natavia moved around $10,000 from Linda's accounts into one controlled by Lottie. Her mom then allegedly used those funds to pay for Natavia's defense, according to the New York Post. The trial turned into a media circus, and Natavia's family caused chaos during the proceedings. Her father, Daniel Walsh, made at least one dramatic outburst in the courtroom. Also, Natavia tried to fire her defense team and replace them with a new attorney, twice. Eventually, the judge ordered Natavia's lawyers to go on with the case. Members of her family had to be escorted out of the courtroom. They were screaming profanity and calling the ruling BS, according to DNA Info. Michael Walsh actually faced contempt charges after the incident, but they were ultimately dismissed. Natavia's aunt, Julia Caro, sent so many threatening emails that the case prosecutors were assigned armed bodyguards. Even after death, Linda continued to dominate headlines and be a regular in Page Six. One blind item read, quote, "Which opportunistic friend of the slain Linda Stein has been capitalizing on the superbroker's murder to bask in the spotlight? The two hadn't spoken in years, but now this shameless friend is accusing the cops of not doing enough to catch the murder. And all I can think of is how much Linda loathed that person," says one pal, end quote. Prosecutors said that Linda had suffered, quote, "the most painful, brutal, horrible death one can imagine," end quote. And this was backed up by forensics. Dr. Michelle Sloan, a coroner from the New York City Chief Medical Examiner's Office, testified that Linda's attacker had hit her 24 times, continuing even after she was lying paralyzed and unconscious on the floor of her apartment. She said Linda could have been hit as many as 80 times. Linda, who was 5'3" and 132 pounds, was unconscious by the time she hit the floor, according to the Observer. And there were no defensive wounds on Linda's hands or anywhere else to indicate that she had fought back. So she was incapacitated and helpless and on the floor, but Linda's attacker just kept hitting. Linda had 5 cuts on her head caused by a blunt metal object, which investigators believed was the yoga stick. Her neck had been snapped and broken after her attacker stomped on it. After the murder, Natavia's lawyer said she tried to cover her tracks. She left Linda a voicemail.
"Hey, Linda, it's Natavia. Just want to let you know that I'm leaving work at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the walk in the park was actually good. I left everything upstairs at the door, and Seymour called. He said just give him a call back if he had a question to ask you. And I hope that the showing goes well with Ursula. And I will see you tomorrow. So if you get this before 5:30, you can just call me. If not, talk to you later. Bye."
She then left a note for Linda on her desk. It read, quote, "I waited for you to come back from your run, but you never came to the office. I guess you didn't want to run or the others to see you in your workout clothes," end quote. But Linda's daughter, Mandy, testified that while her mom would go for walks in Central Park, she never ran. Natavia's lawyers tried to poke holes in the prosecution's theory. They pointed out that she had no blood on her jacket or her sneakers. But prosecutors said, in their opinion, this happened because Natavia hung her coat in Linda's coat closet, and Linda reportedly had a no-shoes-indoors rule. The cargo pants were never found by police, according to the New York Daily News. Prosecutors said they believed she threw them into the East River. DNA Info reported that Natavia text messaged friends to tell them she was home. She wrote that she was, quote, "about to take her butt to bed," end quote, hours after Linda was murdered. But cell phone records show she was actually near the East River in the vicinity of the Williamsburg Bridge on the Brooklyn side at this time. Prosecutors say that's where they think she ditched the cargo pants and possibly the yoga stick. If she did, it would have simply floated away like a log. Prosecutors have also alleged that after the murder, Natavia transferred $10,000 of Linda's money to her mother's bank account. Again, Natavia's lawyers brought up the viciousness of the attack. Their client, they said, was too petite to have inflicted this type of damage. Dr. Sloan was asked this question in court. The defense attorney asked if she, as a short woman, could have inflicted the horrific wounds that Linda suffered. Dr. Sloan said, yes, she or someone her size could do that kind of damage, if they had a heavy weapon, like a stapler or a candlestick. The defense also pointed out that the murder weapon had never been found. They said that another object, like a pipe, could have caused the star-shaped lacerations all over Linda's body. They suggested that although surveillance video did not show anyone else coming up to Linda's apartment, the killer could have entered another way. According to the Real Deal website, a New York Times reporter found an unlocked service door on 79th Street. Also, there were workers in the lobby painting, and many doormen and elevator operators. According to the website, some of the elevators opened directly into the apartments. And the defense also offered an alternative killer, Linda's daughter, Mandy. Both of Linda's daughters had been having financial problems, they claimed. Natavia was found guilty and sentenced to 27 years to life. Justice Richard Carruthers recommended that she never be given parole. He said, quote, "Miss Lowry acted with an uncommon and almost inhuman degree of coolness and calculation," end quote. Mandy Stein and her sister Samantha both read impact statements in court. Mandy's read, in part, quote, "Judge Carruthers, members of the press, and everyone who's followed the case, I wish you knew my mother personally. Not the sensationalized, realtor to the stars Linda Stein, the Linda Stein that was my mother. She was outspoken and could be larger than life. A real New Yorker, the kind of person that's honest and tells it to you the way she sees it. She had chutzpah. My mother treated everyone like a celebrity, regardless of financial and social status. She was dedicated and successful to anything she devoted herself to. My mother was a school teacher, manager of a punk rock band, and a real estate agent. She was successful in all of her careers because she always cared about the people around her and gave 200%. Linda Stein championed her peers by placing them in positions where they could succeed. Most of all, she was a success as my mother. I cry and ache for my mother every day. Not a day goes by that I don't feel the pain of my mother's absence. Natavia, you're a mother. How do you think my sister feels about her children never meeting their grandmother? Do you care? We've never heard any remorse, just lies upon lies out of your mouth. Yet you still have the love and support of your mother. It was rubbed in my face every day in court. There will be no more holidays with my mother. No special moments, no more anything. No day can be 100% happy without my mother. Where's the apology? Where's the remorse? There have been none. Not one apology, not any show of remorse. You are truly a cold, ruthless killer. We are all safer with you locked away from society. You've also thrust upon me a sense of self-doubt and irrational guilt that will never go away. I ask myself over and over, what could I or Mandy have done to see this coming? Why didn't we see this coming? End quote. According to Gothamus, Natavia continues to maintain her innocence. She said in court, quote, "My innocence will continue to remain. I was never afforded a fair trial. Today is just the beginning of a new fight," end quote. Linda's daughter Mandy spoke out as well. She said, quote, "My family has continued to be re-victimized by the aggressive behavior of Miss Lowry's immediate family. I personally was accused by them of carrying out this heinous crime. Their actions added a level of torture that was positively cruel," end quote. Natavia Lowry continued to make headlines. She was taken back to court after allegedly throwing feces at a prison guard. After the crime scene cleanup team finished washing the blood from Linda's dream home, it was put up for sale. In 2017, The Real Deal reported that the apartment where Linda was killed sold as part of a larger deal for 3 units to the founder of a hedge fund who wanted to combine them into one mega dream home. The sales price for all the apartments was $17.9 million, according to public records. Linda's daughters continue to remember her. Samantha announced a party at the nightclub Marquee to benefit the Linda Stein Memorial Fund for Children. On April 24, 2009, which would have been Linda Stein's 64th birthday, Mandy Stein's film, Burning Down the House, The Rise and Fall of CBGB, premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. It was dedicated to her mother. Red Collar is an AudioChuck original podcast. Research and writing by me, Catherine Townsend, with production assistance from Alyssa Gostola and Resonate Recordings. You can find all of our source material for this episode on our website, redcollarpodcast.com. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.